You ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. What's up, everybody? It's your man Danelle, aka Small Guy Promotions, aka the Omaha Fatty, coming with another podcast episode of What's Up Omaha. I'm using my new camera for the first time, so we'll see how this goes. I think it'll be coming out pretty clear. Hopefully you can see the sign in the background, Nebraska Disc Golf Company. I've got two great guys here. I've got Will, the owner, and Rob. I know Rob through Jiu-Jitsu, 10 Planet Omaha. We met since I've been back training back in July, August.
Mm-hmm.
You've been training for a little bit.
Yep, since beginning of June.
Since beginning of June, so mm-hmm. right before I came back. Yep. This is my first time actually meeting Will, but I met him through Rob. Rob was telling me about the business, and I was like, let's do a podcast. So I don't know which one of you guys want to start talking about it. I don't know if you want to go first since it's your baby or...
Yeah, I'll spearhead it.
All right, cool.
My name's Will Schramm, PDGA 127314. I had spent the last 2 years out playing on the Disc Golf Pro Tour.
Oh, nice.
I've been active in the Omaha scene for 20 years. I started playing in my preteen years and fell in love with the sport. Fell away for about a decade, got back in, and dove in head first.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how did you go from just having a love for disc golf to actually deciding to like go into business? How did that transition happen?
You know, it had always been a thought from the early days of playing. And then as I saw the growth of the sport and the potential for it here in Omaha, I saw the opportunity.
Nice. So, was this location here already, or how did, I mean, you're right across from Seymour Smith Park, so it's a great location.
We are, yes. At 7127 Harrison Street, directly across from Seymour Smith Disc Golf Course, is where you will find us. The building was here. I had actually started the business end of things with all the legal work back in January of this year.
Okay.
Spent all of the summer out touring and building my inventory. And due to an injury in August, I had to cut my season short.
Okay.
And it was as I was sitting in the basement, kind of sulking on things with boxes of Frisbees around me, I figured, well, let's get to work.
Right.
And I scoped out a couple places and stumbled into this spot here, and we're open.
Yeah, there you go, man. And it's cool. Like, I always like stuff like this because it's something that, I mean, you didn't at the start intend to do, but just like one thing happened and it led to another thing, and it's like, hey man, let's give it a shot. Let's go with it. So that's pretty cool, man. And I like people to know you don't always know what it is that you're going to get into. Sometimes it just happens.
That's right.
So you got to look for the signs, man. Like, things happen when you're putting that energy out in the universe. I always say this on the podcast: hard work, consistency, and doing it for the right reasons. People will take notice, and then things will start to happen because you put that energy out there into the world. So I ultimately believe that's how this came to be for you.
That's exactly how this has come to be. Every day is something new.
Nice.
We don't quite know what it's going to be, but every day comes at you regardless.
Nice. Rob, how do you guys know each other? How did you get started with this?
Will and I met.
So Bobby and I have known each other for well over a decade now.
Yeah.
We were employees at Outback Steakhouse in Bellevue, Nebraska.
Ah, nice.
And with one of the intros they do for new employees down there, they make you fill out a questionnaire.
Right.
And I had just won the Cornhusker State Games in 2008. And put that on there, and Bob saw it hanging in the back and approached me about playing some golf. And 12 years later, we're here opening up a shop.
Nice. Yeah. And your role here is, you said you put in a lot of work as well.
Yeah, I do kind of back house stuff. Will's the face of the shop for sure. I do a lot of like custom work. Like I built this countertop. I built most of the racks in here and stuff to hold the Frisbees, and I make actually I make these little wooden minis here. They're little mini frisbees. I actually made one for you.
Show the camera.
Yeah, show the camera.
Show the angles and
all the I got Donnell's Omaha Fatty logo on there. One of our little mini discs that I make by hand here. So I've got a...
Oh, dope, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I got a laser
engraving... That's dope.
I got a laser engraving machine at home that I use to put all the images on the discs. We have quite a few different things, and then we make all kinds of different designs and whatnot to put on them. We can do custom orders for them if anybody wants anything like that, and far beyond just minis. I mean, there's...
They double as coasters. Mm-hmm. We can make clocks. There's all sorts of things. If you need it laser engraved, Bobby here can take care of it.
Yeah, man. Boxes. Thank you, man. That's dope. I saw the things that you did at the dojo for the tournament.
Yeah.
All those trophies I saw. Yeah, those were cool. Yeah.
Man.
Actually, I have one more thing I made for you, too. I'm going to grab it real quick here.
So, well, while he's in the back, you know, we're in Omaha, Nebraska. And what I was saying before we went live was, you know, we don't have any snow right now. I mean, it's cold, but there's no snow, no ice. Are people still out playing?
Yes. We actually have a Sunday Flex League where you can show up and pay $2 or $5 and get in an organized round of disc golf that will go all winter.
Nice.
We'll do that till the end of February. And whether there is snow on the ground or not, people will play disc golf. We keep the tee pads or the teeing areas shoveled and free of snow. And then once you get out to the fairway, you're kind of on your own.
But, yeah.
we will actually, there's all sorts of winter tournaments and different events. And if the sun's shining, we're out playing.
Nice. So you guys actually go out and clear the path and everything? Like, how does that work? Like, how does one... I haven't played in a long time. We were talking about that. Like, I think it was 2000 or 2001 when I played a couple of times with my roommate. He had a bag full of different, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, they're different weights and all this. Like, there's so many different. I was like, dude, like, what? Like, it's not just a frisbee. He's like, nah, man, it's more than that. But, so we didn't pay back then. It was just like you showed up and...
And it is still that way in a majority of the courses, especially here at Seymour Smith Disc Golf Course. Most of the facilities are in public parks.
Yep.
So when you asked about who was clearing the tee pads, it's volunteer-based.
Ah, nice.
And so for anyone listening who has been out to Seymour Smith or Hummel Park or to Hanscom Park, any of the disc golf work that has been done out there is volunteer work by the Omaha Metro Disc Golf Association.
Oh, nice.
So every bit of work, all the tee pads, all the walls, all the shoveling, all the clearing and mowing and weed whipping, that's volunteer work.
Nice. That's not easy. So a lot goes in behind the scenes.
It is very much a community-driven organization, the OMDGA and our group of volunteers. And that's where I decided to create a vested interest. You know, when you have a volunteer community, you can only ask so much of those individuals.
Right.
But you know, when someone has a little skin in the game, it allows you to really commit yourself to the growth of the sport. And that's why we're here.
Yeah. Well, you know, you were talking about your background and how you started. You know, you were actually like professionally playing. So I assume that there might be some other people for different reasons that have gotten into it or have stayed connected. And, you know, when you have involvement in something like this, like you were saying, skin in the game, like you want to see it prosper. Like you don't want, you know, it to fall behind and like go away. So you're going to do what you need to do to try to help be a part of it and help build it up and promote it. So it makes sense.
Exactly.
Definitely. Yeah, we started the wintertime flex league. Was it week 5 this week, right?
This was the 6th week of it.
And it, what you were saying about things catching on and people noticing. The very first week, we had 24 players, and it was pretty easy for Will to get that amount of people wrangled up for the first one, just because he does know a lot of people in the scene and he's been around for so long. But the very following week, we had 57. Yeah, so it doubled the very next week, and we've stayed consistently above, 40 players every week?
Yes, including the event we ran last week. We've had over 200, 250 registered players through the wintertime. And the beauty of this sport is that so many people don't know about it.
Yep.
And it is so accessible that anyone can play any one of those gliders. Whether you're using a traditional disc golf disc, something with a sharp beveled edge, or a beach catch frisbee, you can go out and you can enjoy this sport. I do recommend you come in here and say hi and talk to me. I will get you started in the right direction. But as more folks find this sport, it's only going to get bigger and more accessible, and we'll have more courses. And, it's going to keep growing.
Well, and I'm glad that you said that, because I was, it's like you were reading my mind. I was actually going to ask that, and I was going to say if we can kind of backtrack a bit, because we've been talking about it from a perspective of someone who knows what it is.
Right.
For some people who maybe they haven't heard about disc golf, or some people call it froth. I don't know if that's still a thing or not.
But... Yeah. I think we're still at a point with the general public where any recognition we get, or any name likeness is appreciated, whether you call it froth or frisbee golf or disc golf. The fact that people know about it and recognize what you're talking about is the first step.
Right, yeah.
Because a lot of folks will see these cages and these baskets in the parks. Let me slide that over so it's in frame.
Okay, yeah.
This is a mini version. But when you see one of these in the park, chances are there are more of them around. And it's played just like traditional golf, where you have a teeing area and a finishing target. But instead of a set of clubs and golf balls, we use discs or frisbees. And so you throw your disc from the tee area down the fairway and get it to land in the target. Now, normally the targets are 3 or 4 feet tall. This is just a mini version for the desktop here, but if you enjoy golf, if you like walking in the park, if you need to connect with your kids or only have a limited budget for entertainment, it is a wonderful alternative to, to so many other things you can do with your time.
So it can be a little overwhelming at the beginning. You know, just it's just like traditional ball golf. There are so many small things that go into it to getting good at it, you know, and it can be very overwhelming and intimidating at first. But that's where the beauty of having the shop right here across the street from the course. You know, if you want to come in, like Will said, he was a touring pro for the last couple of years. We got the driving net set up right here in the shop, and you can come in, and Will is more than happy to give you pointers, lessons. He'll even walk over there onto the course with you and help you sharpen up your game. So.
Nice. Well, and that's a good thing, too. Like, you come in here, you're like, dude, there's so many different options to choose from. How do I know which one to go with?
Right.
So would you suggest that someone just starting off just starts with one or two different ones, or what is the difference in some of the big differences? You know, I know there's so many, you don't have to go through them all, but like,
so there are many differences. And a lot of folks do get caught up because there are so many choices. What we're looking at really are mid ranges, putters, and drivers. And for those watching, it comes down to the shape of the wing and how sharp the disc is that'll dictate how fast they go. Now, each wing shape is like a bird. They all fly different because their wings are shaped different. And if a new player has a disc that's geared more towards a professional level player, then they don't get the same results, and it takes them that much longer to learn proper form.
Yep.
And so what I can do, what we can do here in the shop, is figure out which disc feels right in your hand, because as you can feel them, each disc has a different feel to it.
Oh yeah.
You know, they rest in the palm of the hand different because, you know, we've got different size hands.
Right. Different weights
And then color choice is key. You know, if you don't like the color, you're probably not going to want to throw it. And what we could do is get you set up specifically with the disc that will match your level of play. By doing that, we help shorten the learning curve and get people playing better faster.
Oh yeah, because I definitely had no idea what I was on when we when we first started. I'm like, dude, I've only thrown a frisbee in the backyard, bro. Yeah. Like,
and if you'll hit me one of those, get up. You can see the difference, whether it's the height, the sharpness, the general size. You know, while it is still, you can still play using one of these. It's not the same as throwing one of these.
Right.
And that's where a lot of folks get caught up because, oh, it's a frisbee, you can flick it. Whereas with one of these, you actually have to throw it.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, because I do see some people, you know, or however, you know.
So you can have a forehand throw or a backhand throw, and they both have their advantages and disadvantages. It comes down to the spin and the physics and which way they fly.
Right.
But the biggest difference between using a catch disc and a disc golf disc is the potential distance.
Right.
These, you'll maybe see them fly about a football field's width or distance, 100 meters, 300 feet. Well, maybe not 100 meters. That might be a little far. But with these, the world record distance is over 1,000 feet.
Nice.
1180, I think, is what it is. Man. I'm probably wrong, so I'm sorry. For those that are out there fact-checking. But it is over 1,000 feet. And with the right disc in the right form, in the right wind, you can achieve that.
And with that distance, that record, what's the approach like? Do you have to stand still, or like, are people like running up to a line and...
Yes, so for the big distance shots, you are running up to it.
Okay.
When you're closer to the basket, you need to be standing still within 10 meters. There's all sorts of finite rules. The PDGA, the Professional Disc Golf Association, is the governing body for the sport.
Okay.
And that is the best resource for all the rules and different listings of tournaments and highlights of the sport.
Cool. Well, man, I mean, we could probably talk about this for, like, hours. I feel like I need to come back sometime.
Ooh,
like, maybe in the summertime, and then, like, we get out there, and, like, we can get some footage of, you know, you guys out there or something. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever happens.
Oh, yeah, we'll make it work. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I know you already said the physical location. Feel free to drop that again, but how should people get in touch with you guys? Like, you know, should they call? Should they email? Should they drop in? Social media? What's the best way? Or what are all of the ways?
The best way is to come into the shop, 7127 Harrison Street, La Vista, Nebraska, because then from there, you can walk across the street to Seymour Smith Disc Golf Course and use those brand new frisbees.
Yeah, if you're going to be out here anyway playing, you might as well just pop in, you know.
That's it. But for those that are more social media inclined, the Nebraska Disc Golf Company is on Facebook and Instagram. And then I'm sure we've got tweets and other things that we can let out to you down the road. But right now, Facebook and Instagram are the best bets.
Cool. Well, any final thoughts like you guys would want people to know about disc golf, or, you know, whether it be for the person who's never done it before and they've been considering it. Maybe they've seen people out there when they drive by and they're like, what are those guys doing? You know, or even if it's just for someone who does it.
I do want to add in something about just the Sunday winter time flex league that we do have. We do have juniors brackets, so for minors that want to play, and we do have a women's division. We have a 40-plus division as well. There's an open division for the more advanced players, and then we have two different brackets on the amateurs. There's a $5 bracket and then a $2 bracket. And then we do have some different things within the course, like closest to the pin shot prizes. We have an ace fund that we do on that as well, where there's a cash prize at the end of it. It depends on if anybody's won the cash prize throughout the year yet. It does keep rolling over if nobody's got it.
It's like a jackpot.
Yeah, a lot like that. So there's a lot of different options for that Sunday league play, but definitely watch the Facebook page, because as soon as spring hits, it's going to get real crazy. We're going to be having all sorts of tournaments and different activities going on. So.
Cool. cool.
And to piggyback on that, there will be 8 sanctioned tournaments hosted by Nebraska Disc Golf Company throughout the year, and all those updates will be on the Facebook page and the PDGA page as well.
There you go. And we'll make sure to share those links. I always have that in the details section of the podcast, so you guys at home watching or listening can go ahead and get that information, because you probably won't remember it just by hearing it a couple times. Right. You can just go to the description section or the details, whatever you want to call it, and all the information, all the contact information and details will be listed there. So thank you guys so much for tuning in once again to another podcast episode of the What's Up Omaha podcast. As we end every episode, smile, help someone else smile, laugh and help someone else laugh all day, every day. Please don't forget to subscribe wherever you're taking the podcast in. Yeah! Y'all have a good night. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
That's it.
Boom. Yeah. That's cool.